Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, good evening. Welcome to Laborers for Christ, Spiritual Growth and Development. You have tuned in to our Wednesday midweek chat over coffee and tea with church culture discussions on topics related to our current walk in this season. Things that concern us and concern your family, your community, your city, and the nation. Things that we want to make sure that we stay grounded in the Word of God as we are challenged with the issues of this broken world. May the people find a hope that is pure, it is clear, clean, and glorifying of our Father, of our Creator, with the love that He desires we have. So we thank you for joining in to Blog Talk. We are currently waiting on the physical location to come online. We're located at 1750 West 103rd Street in Chicago, Illinois, in the upper level of Bethany Union Church. We thank you for joining us, and we encourage you to come out. Come out. There's nothing like physically being in the house of the Lord. So we thank you. We have a lot of announcements and things that are going on in church world. I encourage you to join us on the second Saturday at a healing clinic, which is pretty much going to be structured the entire day as an sexual and relational healing clinic, healing retreat, a day retreat, a day conference to address those issues that we are surrendering before the Lord. We also have the Holy Week feast gathering of the Passion and the Passover on Tuesday, April 17th at 6:30. And you are invited to come out and share with us in this Holy Week service. And we, all of our gatherings will be at Bethany Union Church on the upper level, 1750 West 103rd Street. So we're going to get right to the topic of the day, and that topic is going to be, we're going to hear it from our physical location. What is our topic for today?
Well, good evening, Blog Talk family, and good evening, Mike Check. Can you hear us?
We hear you.
All righty. Well, good evening, Blog Talk family, and then good evening to the physical location family. Let's open up with scripture. Matthew 6, 33 through 34 out of the Passion Version says, "So above all, constantly chase after the realm of God's kingdom and the righteousness that proceeds from him. Then all these less important things will be given to you abundantly. Refuse to worry about tomorrow, but deal with each challenge that comes your way one day at a time. Tomorrow will take care of its own self." Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for another opportunity to come together and to gather. Thank you for what you would download in our hearts individually and collectively. We are excited about the conversation and what would be shared among us. Thank you for each person that will bring revelation and insight to the will of God. Thank you for what's going to take place today, and we are excited about the change and the transformation, the maturation, the momentum, the miracles, and the manifestation that will take place during the course of this time that we share together. And we bless this time, we bless this opportunity. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, our topic today is We're going to look at spiritual growth and development. We're going to talk about parental discipline, parental bullying, public correction, and what is the church involvement. So our topic for today is parental discipline, parental bullying, public correction, and the church involvement. Sound like a good topic, right? All right, so what do we have? What are we thinking? What would we like to share? Let's all jump in at one time. Where's our kickoff queen? There she is. Apostle's in the house. She usually kicks us off. So what do we feel as a church as it relates to parental discipline, parental correction, and this new thing that's called parental bullying? And what is the church involvement?
Well, these daily disciplines are different from biblical standards in the way the old of being able to discipline their children.
Yeah.
Granted that there's a thin line between, you know, disciplining them and then going overboard and getting a little confused. I think that the whole gamut has suffered because of the few who were abusive. And so now we have to, you know, walk this thin line and not discipline the way that we do. I believe the course of practice, you know, that a child can be saint or, you know, at some point, you know, So, but now with today's culture, because we've had so many people who, you know, push this envelope a little too far, now we have to deal with, you know, all of the things that are now associated with that. So the church is involved. To me, would be to make sure that a child is in danger. I remember growing up, my mother saying, you know, and I the Bible said that you're going to be wiser yet weaker. And we do have a wiser generation, but they're definitely weaker because we can play the drugs at school and nobody wants to go and commit suicide. You know, you could be fat and be like your mama fat, you know. You did the game back and forth. But now children, you say something to them, and they're ready to, you know, go and commit suicide. And so we have a sensitive culture that we're dealing with now, and we have to use more godly wisdom in how to handle this.
Hmm.
In today's society. So, that's my take. Don't kill them.
I like it.
And receive the abuse of a child to who celebrate the first thing. So that's, you know, you hear wisdom, but also I feel sort of, yeah, privilege. But it was discipline, teaching wisdom, with the, you know what I mean? Not just picking a switch, but you also got to talk.
That was mental abuse.
where my mother would provoke me to anger,
And because I had not had the training and the rearing that we would want our children to have or we would like, I guess I'm trying to explain what I'm saying is that because my mother did not rear me in such a way, the streets of Chicago raised me.
Hmm.
And then, you know, when it talks about fathers or mothers not provoking your children, as a young child, I grew up in a household where I was already not trained. And then because of the way, the disrespectful way that I would act, my mother was then provoked. And so you have a situation where a child already has not been trained and there was already not a Christian household at the time. And then you have this child who has no idea how to respect and who wants to respect. And you have a parent because of this for the child. So it was like this back and forth, back,
yeah,
back and forth. Mm-hmm. And so now my mother is 60 years old and she's saved. And so our relationship now has changed tremendously. But just looking back on my childhood, whoa, I didn't, my father wasn't around. And I did whatever it was I wanted to do. And so that's why I wanted to bring up that scripture because it talks about not provoking your children. There was often times, forgive me if I'm wrong with it, but there was often times that I was provoked over and over and over again because the lack of respect that I did not have, I disrespected beyond the, I guess,
it makes sense.
I would like for you to elaborate a little bit on what you view as provoking. Because you, on one hand, were saying that you were disrespectful and you was, you know, doing your own thing. And so my question is was your mother trying to discipline you and you saw it as her provoking you or what? So I just need you to kind of elaborate on what you view as her provoking you.
I can give you an example. I'll share something that happened that is still with me now. So I had children early myself.
Mm-hmm.
There was an argument in the house, and my mother went to try to discipline me, and she said that I had hit her. However, I did not hit her. I raised my voice, and my mother came towards me and said, if you hit me again, X, Y, and Z will happen. And I was at this point trying to calm myself down. My mother then hit me with the wooden part of a table, and I was already pregnant. And I guess I'm trying to answer your question. Provoking, my mother would provoke me when she would push and push and push until I would just. And trust me, I'm not trying to cover up my own ailments or my own problems that I had. I'm very aware that there was probably a lot more I could have done as a child on a better side. My mother would push and push and push and push. Because I could not have time because I didn't have the skills that I have now respond back positively. Did I answer your question? Did I still dance around it?
Well, you kind of danced in my opinion, but I understand what you're saying. I just think that it's for this particular conversation that it's going to be imperative and important that we kind of give a differentiating fact of what is provoking your child to anger. So I think that will be used, that it can be used. I just want to make sure that we're giving clarity to in the room and to our listening audience that, you know, because a child can now come up to you and be like, no, you're provoking me. No, I'm disciplined. You know what I'm saying? So that we don't.
So then, would you provide clarity on what you think of provoking a child would be? So I just want to say, a better idea of what provoking a child might be.
When I think of the word provoking your child to anger, I don't think about there as a problem with a child at home. I'm thinking of who's doing all that they can and being vegetarian and silent and critiquing them in a negative manner. For instance, you've got a child who comes in from school and they're washing dishes and they're doing the best that they can, and his parent is still saying, you didn't do this, you forgot to pick up that piece of paper. Or whatever the case may be, and now I've got to whoop you because you left this one piece of paper, where they're taking something to an extreme as far as what the child is doing. But when you've got a child that, in your case, too, was giving the parent a problem, and we don't know you know, what was going on as far as was the mom, was she trying to discipline you? Did you push her and she felt like she needed to press? We don't know all of those intricate details. And so my thing is, you know, making sure that we're giving a clear line to how a parent would provoke their child to anger. You know, what are you doing that you're provoking your child to anger? So I just wanted to get clarity from you as to what you viewed it as so that we could get some clarity to what it is. So we probably should start by looking at the word provoke. What does provoke mean? And, you know, get some scenarios on what that would look like.
I just appreciate you for even just everything you just said. You possibly are providing some own clarity into my own retrospective of my own childhood. So I appreciate you.
Okay, well, thank you. I appreciate it. I'm glad you said that. I can't. I was a little concerned.
No, need to help.
So should the church have things in place for child abuse? Let's make that a general question. Should the church have something in place for parental bullying, parental discipline, and what we consider to be child abuse? Is that a church responsibility? Yes. Yes.
No.
No. My son, the one kid in the room, said no. So he knows.
Okay. So, Crossway Community Church has a online, what they consider to be a child abuse prevention policy that has to be signed by any individual that works with their youth. And I'll just give you some general rule on it. It says that they said recognizing God's tender love and concern for children. According to Luke 18:16, we believe it's our responsibility to do all that is reasonably possible to protect the children of this church from being physically or sexually abused while they are under our care. It is also our responsibility to guard our youth workers from being falsely suspected or accused of wrongful behavior towards the youth. To reduce the risk of these problems, we have adopted the following guidelines. So some of their guidelines for abuse prevention reporting and investigation is, number one, physical contact. No youth worker may touch a minor in a manner that could be deemed sexual, threatening, or harmful to a minor. Any questions regarding this should be directed to the elder or the senior pastor. Two, adult policy. There should always be at least two adults present with any minor. Exceptions may be made by the elder board in advance for legitimate counseling or mentoring activities. In these cases, the written consent of a minor to parent or guardian shall be obtained in advance. Reporting policy. Any suspected incident of child abuse occurring at Crossway Community Church activity shall be immediately reported to the senior pastor or any member of the elder board. Further, all parties shall comply with the Florida State 39.201, which requires that suspected child abuse, neglect, and abandonment be reported to the Florida Department of Children and Family. Investigation of suspected abuse. The senior pastor and or elder board shall ensure that an appropriate investigation is conducted to any allegations of suspected child abuse occurring at Crossway Community Church activity and shall cooperate with any investigation that may be conducted by the Florida Department of Children, Family, and or law enforcement agencies. This investigation may, in appropriate circumstances, be left to the appropriate law enforcement agency. The parent or guardian of the alleged victim shall be notified immediately unless the parent or guardian gives the accused. During the investigation, the accused shall no longer work in youth activity at Crossway Community Church. And number five, disclosure of arrest or investigation. Any youth worker who is arrested shall report the arrest to the senior pastor and or elder as soon as practicable. Further, any youth worker who knows that he or she under investigation for any incident of child abuse or neglect also report this to the senior pastor and or elder as soon as practicable. They also have this intense application form, member 6-month rule, must have proper reference, public notice, and background and investigation go forth on all conducted youth workers. Should that be a corporate policy, a kingdom policy? What do you think about that? Or are we just comfortable with throwing people in with our youth?
I think it would be a corporate policy. I think the policy that they have, that we have here at Ladies for Christ, the Kingdom Church, is important. You know, everybody can't discipline your child. Everybody can't talk to your child. Everybody can't touch your child. And you don't want everybody touching, even talking to them, because sometimes they can discourage the kids to the point where they don't want to come to church, you know. So it has to be the right person, the right spirit behind the person. And if they don't know, I know, I remember when my son was here, if it was something regarding the children, the youth at Kingdom Church, first they had to rule whatever goes on in Kingdom Church. You know, you tell your son, you don't tell about anybody else. But if you had done something and it was between him and another, it went through overseer, apostle, but it just couldn't go through, you know, everybody who was in there teaching the children. And I think you have to watch who talks to your child and who speaks to them and who doesn't.
Okay, this is Overseer.
Yes.
We do have a policy in place. Excuse me, that policy is communicated to the church on a semi-annual basis, but definitely on a new member basis. And I believe that much of what you read in some form is established at Laborers. I think any church, you have to pretty much establish it based on your environment and the people that you're serving. I believe that part of the policy for Laborers, and I can actually read it to you, and it is in writing, and I apologize for not getting it to you, Prophet. But it says it is our policy to correct negative behavior through teaching, separation, loss of rights and privileges, and the use of non-physical methods. Parents and guardians will be notified if these methods are not successful. We endeavor to maintain an orderly and safe environment and honor the discipline methods of each family represented in Kingdom Church. And so your assistance is greatly appreciated. We definitely establish protocol with the families of that which the children are expected to do. We establish it with the children. So to have a consistent environment that no matter who they see, in that room, the behavior has a standard that doesn't fluctuate. We don't even allow parents to discipline their children their way in Kingdom Church if they, for some reason, are in there, say, for birthday or whatever, whatever, because we want to be consistent, and we want the children to see consistently what our stance is. Now, you could take your kid home and do anything you want, but while you're in that environment, that's the standard that has to be maintained. Those that are brought into Kingdom Church are done so after not just interviewing, but there, you all know we have paperwork. This paperwork reveals a lot of things, as well as spiritually gives us insight as to the appropriateness of whoever it is who is looking to work in Kingdom Church. And anytime we have those individuals that may not meet the standard to do it on a regular basis, but they choose to present their ministries in Kingdom Church, they do so with approved staff present only. We definitely have the buddy system just purely because of our church physical location. children aren't allowed to go anywhere by themselves. They must have permission. And so, therefore, if a child is viewed in an area that is not Kingdom Church, it is always going to be assumed that that child is in an appropriate place. And that is always to be reported either to the apostle or to the person that's in charge in Kingdom Church. There are a lot of rules that we have that oftentimes parents just aren't, they just don't, they're not mindful of it. You know, you don't have a child come and pick up a child. You don't have another individual. Maybe your cousin came to church this Sunday, and they know little Joe and wants to come and pick little Joe up. No. And so we don't have children bringing children. There are a lot of not just discipline, but to provide that safe and structured environment. Their teaching is done from the Word of God, presenting Bible scenarios and situations that reveal precepts that God wants us to have. And I realized that they were indicating, you know, provoke not your child. That scripture is not for children. That scripture is for adults with children. And so it is not addressing a child feeling they are provoked. What he tells a child to do is obey. And it's clearly just obey. Now that correction will come between the Lord and that parent. When abuse is indicated or suspected, that we have, I don't believe, an environment, we have an environment that has trained individuals. So if someone is trained professionally to do that, then I think that would be very appropriate. And it is appropriate, and it is done at Laborers. But I believe that, you know, it's when we want to, well, that's not how I raised my kids. Well, and that's fine. But we have to respect everybody's discipline methods that are theirs, and we have to honor that family, you know, not to the destruction of the child, but, you know, up to a certain limit, you know, whatever that parent wants to do. There have been times that parents wanted to physically correct their children. You know, that's asked to be done outside of Kingdom Church. Now, I believe that if, you know, someone is, what do they call it, mandated to report things, and you see me or you hear my kid in the bathroom screaming after I've taken them in there and beat them, and you feel the need to call, I think that that's something, just like we talked about with church discipline, you should go to that person and take a witness, and then the two go with a witness, you know, and then address the issue. And then if that does not resolve it, then, you know, going outside of the church structure would be appropriate. So that's me. That's Kingdom Church.
All right, so what is the thin line now? I mean, have we gotten so, I think Apostle said a good word, we have such a sensitive culture now that everything can be seen as abuse versus discipline. And what about some, I don't know, maybe some values that we were raised on that, do they matter now? Or they were ignorant, and so they have no weight to this generation. So it doesn't take a village to raise a kid anymore, because now you can't say nothing to my kid, even if you part of my village. you know, so where do we go? How do we become? How do we continue to evolve, grow?
You know, again, I believe that if the village is steeped in the Word of God, you can always come to a resolution. Okay? We're not going to all, I mean, you can have three people in the room, and they will raise they oh, they raise their children differently. There's some things that
you have three
do not allow in your house. That's true. Now, that's because they are different. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And if it's not done with the leadership of Holy Spirit, whatever we do is going to fall apart. It's not going to work. It's just not going to be successful. We don't have the power to understand the influence in each child unless we depend on Holy Spirit to give us that insight. I believe, just as you say, you can have three children. When I think of just my three, they were all raised very differently in the same household. But the standard was always out of the Word of God. And so, as a result, some people say, you know, and I said it, beat them, they will not die, but they won't change either. Because that's the other side of it in today's society and the way we do it. Because when the Bible said, beat them, they will not die, it's after you have trained and taught them, after you put them in under eldership, after you had done a lot of things with them, you know, and then the next step was either that or put them outside of the city, outside of the community, and they could just go like, you know, wild animals. You know, that was the process. And so the culture that was shared in was very different from the culture that we have today. One thing we know, you can beat someone. I remember my grandmother telling my mother, you know, you beat her, it don't bother her at all. And it didn't. It's like, if that's my punishment, no problem. I can do anything I want because I can take a licking, go to my room, go to sleep, get up, and go on the next day. So it did not bring correction. It didn't bring discipline. Now, I think that with anything and with anybody, once you start withholding something, then you get people's attention. And I think one of the things that worked with our home was the fact that you had to scripturally understand what the biblical punishment was for what you were doing. And then you choose. All right. And then if that was your choice, then that was, you know, the choice to not be under the rule, then you weren't. You left. And it wasn't a, you know, let me take care of you. No, you only get out. I mean, you know, and maybe some would feel that's abuse, but go to DCFS then. But if you don't follow the rules of the standard of this home, then you can't live here. It's just like with anything. Okay. When you break the law, you're not allowed to live.
This needs to be cam talk.
Oh, bummer.
You should see some faces in this room. I'm just
okay.
When we as children were raised, there was eight of us, well, seven of the eight in the house. And if one person did it, and mom didn't know who did it, everybody did a whooping. And I didn't think that was right.
That's right.
You know, because I didn't do it. You know what I mean? But everybody had to get their own switch and then a belt and you lay on, you know, chair. Everybody got whooped. And they sit on your back. And whoop your butt, mm-hmm. your bottom, and
just the prince.
Yeah, the word. And then oh, they throw you their shoe at you. You know, you don't dare come in. They have a conversation with them, you know, and then put your idea in there. You know, so it was a lot of thinking and punishment and discipline. But whooping everybody in the house. To get to, and nobody was going to say, he's trying to tell everything. So they called me, so I'm just saying, this is coach. But now it's a lot that goes on where the kids will kill you if you beat them, you know? So it's a lot of.
You can't touch kids nowadays.
Huh? You can file charges. Oh, yeah. Yeah. When they put that policy in place, you can't whoop your children. I think that was first they took prayer out of school, then they put. You can't hit a kid. But they were used to come to school and whoop us in front of the teachers.
Yeah.
We didn't, they didn't take us to the bathroom and get private. They took us in front of the class and whooped us. You know? So.
So do you think that that kind of thing should be allowed in church?
Oh, no.
Your child is accused of doing ABC. And they come and get you and say your kid did ABC. Is it acceptable to discipline, correct, with parental rule? I really didn't want to call it. Can you go get your child, drag them in another room, drag them in a room kid, and check that behavior by whatever means you check your child's behavior?
Yes.
Yes. One yes. Yes. Two yes.
This is my child.
I came and said your child did ABC.
Oh, then you see, I'm just saying our three CPNs. I mean, what I do and handle like that.
Okay.
He'll go back and see people.
Anyway, so number one,
we can
say it acceptable to execute that kind of punishment in this kind of public space is the first question.
If they're guilty of charge, yes.
You don't know if they're guilty unless the Lord told you that. So, your child did ABC. Can you discipline corporate bully? I don't know what you want to call it. Can you bring in the room can to do that? I'm making it up.
What is parental bullying?
Somebody used that term. Life coach used that term that I know, and she indicated that the scenario we brought up about Facebook last week when the parent, she beat her daughter down. I mean, that was the summation of it. She beat her down. She punched her. I mean, you know, she dealt with that child's behavior. And so that life coach said that that was parental bullying. Someone else indicated that parental bullying could be manipulating you to do something. Yeah, that's the way my whole thing. Manipulating you to do something. How is that? As a parent. Yeah, manipulating you to do something.
And here it is.
Manipulating your child to do something.
Yes.
The person you take care of.
Right.
Yes.
And here is
called
parental bullying.
You know what?
Consider parental bullying is prevention of social interaction with friends, other partners, grandparents, etc. This behavior is an abuse of power and is meant to give the parents a feeling of control.
Yeah.
It's called isolation and prevent kids from children, but fulfilling their basic needs of love and belonging.
That's called a consequence to your behavior.
We've gone way too sensitive for this
You were caught drinking and getting high.
Yeah.
I don't know, on Twitter or wherever you were doing it. Okay. And so then you got home and your parents saw it and they checked your behavior.
Wow.
She beat that girl down.
Yeah.
Now, whether it was right, wrong, or indifferent, I don't have an opinion of it for the purpose of this conversation, but they chart what she did, and she was very verbally aggressive. She cussed her out, and she beat her down.
With a cigarette and a Mickey.
Okay.
So she didn't do it with a cigarette. So she, yeah, that's what she did, and I think the issue was, she videotaped it, it went on Facebook.
So
and,
it was done in private, was addressed, I mean, was done in public, was addressed in public.
Yes. So, and so is that an appropriate form of correction or discipline, or is that parental bullying?
I think you need to know your child
and whatever works for your child. So if I stole something in public and you take me in my room and beat me and don't nobody know, then it may not have affected me. But if I stole something, the person I took it from, you took me in front of them, made me get to that, say what I did and beat me, I may have learned something. You know what I mean? So you have to know. That's been the thing, all these lessons every week. It's relationships. You know,
Amen.
We have to know our children and what disciplinary method works for them. Paulette made me write that scripture 100. Oh, you did it again? 500. Oh, you did it again? 1,000. Oh, you still stupid? I'm beating you, and now you're going to write it 5,000 times.
That's the question.
And it hurts. For the most part.
No comment. So the question on the table is, you're at church. Your child is accused of doing A, B, C, all the way to C, if you will. Is bringing them outside of the space in which they did it, I'm just using room 10 as an example, bringing them into room 10, checking that behavior, or standing up in the middle of worship service and addressing the behavior by when necessary, what we see that is then appropriate.
Yes.
Yes.
So the statement is yes, across the board.
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
To say that in labors, now I'm not talking about anywhere else, okay, but there is a progress. So it's not that you cut up and go to your mama. You know, this is ongoing. It is being addressed in a variety of ways. If correction still doesn't come, it is still, then there's a phase one, a phase two, a phase three, a phase four. And when you get to phase 10, and it's like, okay, this can only be resolved with you leaving this room and being taken to your guardian. At that point, I believe that whatever that guardian chooses to do to honor, first of all, the house of God, and even that child learning to respect authority is whatever is necessary, they need to know, in love, definitely in love, because the amount of chances that they receive, the amount of levels of correction that are attempted is all in the face of love and changing how they're thinking, you know, and then praying that change of their thought will then correct their behavior. You know, not perfectly. No child is perfect. Nobody expects them to be perfect. You know, we're talking about second chances. You get, goodness, 70 times 70. And yet that comes a limit where others are now being affected physically, emotionally, spiritually. And so you have to make a decision, and that decision needs to show forth the standard that you're trying to maintain. So it's not a small infraction. They shouldn't go out, sit in church, and get to go to sleep. Okay? It's like, oh, is that what I have to do if I want to go to sleep? And I don't feel like being bothered, just cut up, and they'll take me and my mom, I go to sleep. No. But there should be something, even if it's a promise of the later beating when we get in the car. If labor say you can't beat them on the premise, but you let them know when we get in the car, okay?
And right now what I'm addressing is, should corporate punishment, bullying, discipline, correction, whatever you want to call it, take place at church, public?
Yes,
they did.
Yes, they did, but it was said that they did it at church. Or maybe you saw them, but
right.
Whatever. So, should it take place at church?
Yeah.
So there's a room to regress this problem. Somebody think, correcting the behavior immediately does not necessarily have to be physical. Physical correction. Should you beat your child down at church? Let me just do it that way.
But it sounds like what Pastor Marla said. If your child knows you just like you know your child, so if you're cutting up in such a matter that you know my mother did something like this, and that's what's going to happen to me if you do it anyway. Your child knows, you know, well, this is our understanding. Whatever you do in that is whatever we want to do in jail.
Okay, y'all just realize all y'all want in jail. And I just know, I need you to understand, first of all, it's inappropriate. Number one, it's inappropriate. Number two, you're going to catch your case. And number three, the courts can come down on the place that you abused your child if that discipline looks like abuse.
So well, it should be reported if you feel like it, report.
Okay, so that's right. If your child did it at church, you beat them down at church. Now, Pastor probably kind of using that day as a quarter. Pastor Marlette beat your child down.
Yeah.
You feel better, Pastor Marlette? Good. Now, because probably want to report out.
That's why I get it. Pack your bag.
Hey, come.
I'm down with support. Training up the child. And I'm not a
kid. And I am
not a method of correction. No, I am. But I'm not against any of these methods of correction. And I understand it. But that's why I'm being very specific.
Right.
Should you physically beat your child?
So if you do it, it's if in public, behind closed bars, and behind closed doors.
Like when you get home?
Yeah.
What you do when you get home? I mean, we're not here, so we're specifically talking about, ask me, should you beat your child behind closed bars? Of course, I have an opinion about that. But this class is about, should it take place at 1750 versus 130 on the upper level? I strongly would not recommend you do it on the lower level.
Right.
But that's just.
You just want to go to jail.
For real, for real.
I can't deal with that, yeah.
Say yes. I just want to think about it. Other thing is, you said do it discreetly.
Huh?
Yeah. Because, you know what?
I was going to say, I can teach you method, but that may be cruelty.
Go ahead, Pastor Diane.
Okay, I hear what Apostle was saying, because when I work ER, and they come in ER, not feeling good. The children's running over everywhere. Then they snatch them, smack them upside the head, do everything. We're supposed to report that because they're on the premises of the hospital. Then if the child fall and hurt himself, it's going to be on the hospital, more so than the parent. The parent goes to jail, but the hospital has to pay for a lawsuit. I think someone said you should know your child and your child should know you. If you tell a child to sit down and you give them the look, they know they better obey, or you don't have to beat a child. I was one that the stronger I got. My mother say, well, you can't whoop her because she was stubborn. But if you told me to do something, I would try my best to do it. You only had to tell me to do it one time. And I always tried to, you know, make my mother proud of me. So if it's the way you teach your child, Diana just told me one time she got hit, but she didn't do it again because she went to sleep in church. But we were taught when you came to the house of God, respect and honor that house. And the children watch and see how you're treating the house of God. And if you can get away with stuff, they're going to try it. But as for rules, when you out at corporate level, I would advise anyone, don't beat your child because you may go to jail. Now then.
With what we were saying earlier about the culture and the times that we're in now, and I think, you know, in view of what Apostle Shania was saying, trying to get us to come to that mindset that this we're not in the days of old. In the days of old, Sister Goodrich will whoop you and take you to your mom, and she whoop you too at the church.
That's right. We should still be in the days of old because it works.
Because
And then when you change the rules to what God says, then you got this delusion. We being deceived. So he said in the latest days it was going to be that way. So now the children, they want to do, and then they whooping the parents.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I mean, I can joke, you know, if you hit your child and they hit you back, I'm sure there's some kind of response the church needs to have. But in our truth, there's no line calls to that. But that's a personal thing.
But it happens. And that was another thing. My mother said, you never hit a child. You always use something. You never use your hand with a child because then you're fighting. So we were trained certain ways, as someone else said. If one, it's 10 of us. If one messed up, we all got whooping. So we had to watch each other because we weren't getting no whoopings. If we didn't do it, your brothers and sisters was going to beat you up. So that was two whoopings. So you have family rules and regulation, or what they call it, family traditions. But
I think we
came out pretty good.
I think that's what Scripture shares.
Right.
But Scripture tells us to do that. When we talked about discipline, for whatever reason in church, there was a structure to how to do it. And I believe that is following that structure. Mm-hmm. And it was done like that, so that those that were there saw that that sin was just not going to be tolerated. Whatever it was that, you know, we did the church discipline, it was done first. You go to that person, then you take a witness, you know, and then if still, then you take them before the church. So I think there's a process, and that process addresses children as well, youth discipline as well as adult discipline.
And I think that we also, with that, have to realize that we also have a responsibility, according to Scripture, to obey the law of the land.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just, mm-hmm. I believe there's a place we have to be mindful across the board. I have seen elders who attempt to correct
yes.
the behavior of children. And it was abusive.
Mm-hmm.
Did they not pick that child up and turn him upside down and put him in the garbage can?
Yeah. Oh.
And that was an elder correcting the behavior. Did another elder, because of favor and insecurity, lie on the child, watch the child get beat down, and then be like, maybe I saw it wrong?
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm only talking about what I know in these last 23 years at labor. So I believe that there has to be, as they read, there has to be something in place. We have to understand that we are governed by more than just one authority, and that while you may think it's okay to, I don't know, snatch your kid, pull the kid by their ear. That's probably a terrible example because that happens. But okay, you may think it's okay to pull a kid by their ear. Okay? Boy, get over here and sit down. I can't believe you did that so and so had to say something to you. Okay? And so you pull little Joseph by the ear. So when you put the kid Joseph by the ear and took him to his mama, Talitha, she looking like, you done pulled my child across the room by the ear. Your nails have scratched off his face. I'm only talking about a real scenario.
Wow.
Just because Joseph was sitting in the back eating candy.
That's abuse. I would have gone to jail. Right. That would be jail. Don't touch my child.
So I'm just saying, so because we believe there's a method that we believe in. So somebody, maybe I'll do it differently. I need somebody like real old school. Old school parents, they got you underneath your arm.
Mm-hmm. Hold that.
And pulled you from one location, put them down to another location.
Well, you're old.
Okay, and so that was okay for that style of parenting, okay?
but maybe for you that wasn't acceptable. So you're in
that. That might have been child abuse.
Yeah, it was. Well, she said
it was. You don't have to say it could have been. Just thank God for another opportunity. Okay. So anyway, so that may not have been an appropriate method for how you were having. So when we get this, and so I guess I just want us to think in the church. What you do outside of the church, that's a whole different class. But within the church structure, there has to be something in place to address it. I've seen somebody smack somebody's hand. Now somebody like that, oh, what's the big deal if you smack? I don't think we got a Kimberly in the house. If we smack Kimberly's hand, because Kimberly's playing the piano. Is that a big deal?
Is it a big deal for another person?
Okay. If we smack Michaela's hand because she was sad, because she was playing the piano.
I think it's a big deal for any adult to assume a discipline of another parent.
I didn't want the church to get in trouble because I know what that, how Bethany feels about us. I told you I had a lot of examples. I know how Bethany feels about us on the PM.
That's inappropriate.
That's inappropriate, but then this is the issue, though. The system is in place. People just don't follow rules. So it's not that that isn't something in place. So it's not should the church. It's, you know, what should we do to people that break the rule, maybe? Because all those things, like I said, that is clearly communicated to members that labors for Christ. You know you're not supposed to do that. So if you do it for whatever reason, then they need to be addressed. But it's already in place, so it's not should we do it. That is the rule. You don't discipline. You don't even discipline, like I said, your own child in Kingdom Church your way. So the whole point is Laborers for Christ has a policy, and that policy looks a certain way. Now, do people follow the policy? No, they're the problem. So it's not should we do it. Yeah, we have it in place because we understand that. We understand that the physical discipline is not necessarily going to change their mindset and their thinking. And that is the desire of the church, is to give them opportunity and optional behavior. Yeah, you do this, but you should do this, and this is why, so that they will then start making good choices. But just because they're not making good choices, well, I don't mean them, but because the adults don't follow that, then that's a whole nother subject. What do we do with them?
So your 17-year-old comes to church, huh?
You brought him?
No. I don't know how he got. I don't know. I really don't know. They didn't come with you. I don't remember how that came back. Maybe they drove. I don't remember. But you're 17-year-old comes to church high.
Okay,
you
know, okay.
I'm at labor.
Right.
And you see them. You get in later on and, you know, like.
I see them. A parent see them. Adults see them.
He sings.
Okay.
Then he gets, so then everybody is trying to do intervention. And so then I come to you and say, you know, you shouldn't have let blah, 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 come to church in that kind of state. So, I told him to leave. I don't remember the rest. But anyway, I told him he needs to be sitting up here high like that.
So what's your question?
Is that a problem?
I think that's a problem.
But you talked to the parent, or you just told the parent, or you just told the child?
I didn't tell the child.
I think it's inappropriate to tell them, please. I don't think that it's inappropriate to address the situation or speak to her.
Okay. So people had to talk to the child that was 17-year-old, which is so the child understood that was hot.
I think someone should. I don't think that everybody in the church should assume responsibility. I think Paulette brings a good point. If we have policies or we have a culture that kind of have that concept, then individuals know what to do. I think we've made some things just an extreme now. Now you can't say nothing to nobody. But when Johnny is shooting up everybody, then we ought to ask somebody to pray. Well, if you would have let me say something to him before he was shooting up everybody, I wouldn't have to be praying. Say it's funny, but you want me to pray now that he's about to take a life sentence. But you don't want me to say nothing to him when he comes to church high. So where do we bring some kind of healthy balance, you know, to it all, for a generation? Because it's almost as this, if I hear what you're saying and I agree, if then we're stuck as a church because we don't know how to move forward, because if we obey the rules and laws of the land, we can't even really say nothing to the individual, or it was deemed as sensitive. I think the hospital brought up a good word, or it would be inappropriate, or now I have to look at the legality aspect of it. You know, what do I say or what do I do as it relates to the situation? So to go back to your question, now that I got that off my chest, I think it's inappropriate for a person to tell the young man to go home. I do. Or young woman, whoever it was, put them out the church, baby. Let them come out. Yes.
Just to make sure I understand correctly, this was a 17-year-old boy who was high, who happened to come to church.
They were here at church.
I myself, I am a recovery.
Okay.
And so I think it is highly, in my opinion, it is highly inappropriate, especially to tell a teenager that's 17 that's high. I understand why that possibility can be done, but for a child to be high, a child, anybody in the United States, and still come to church looking for some kind of spiritual guidance or help, that may, if me in my past, if I was in the church with some holy, dirty clothes and was all messed up and all like that, and I was told to leave from church, that probably could have possibly turned me away further, because I came to the church looking for somebody to show me some love, welcome to my understanding, and he told me, I got to leave one place where I'm supposed to come and supposed to be safe at. I feel like, wow, especially because it was a 17-year-old person. I'm an adult, and I could be wrong, but in my opinion, I think that's like, whoa, why did he have to leave? I understand he could probably be disruptive or not in the right frame of mind to receive anything. I understand all of that. But I think it was a person actually came to church. I know for whatever reason I wasn't came to church. I think it was probably in church looking for something, even if he wasn't in the right state of mind at the time.
And I think many a times we as ourselves will come to church. We have partied all night. We've been high, it's all know what. We've been drinking our rum and coke and our long time. We've had a girl's time. And we go and we have on that nasty, filthy rash that we came from out of the club, got home at 4 in the morning, might be washed out our face. Might have not even washed our face.
We parked outside the church. Because we didn't want to be late, and we came and stood at the altar
right.
And ministered to people.
And I don't know what, and you can smell it in our everything. But y'all received us in love. Well, most of the churches are saying, receive me in love, some fucking house. But bottom line, I just want to say to you,
and you all not
just finish your conversation.
No, I just want to say this.
Can't you all not receive me in love? I would be here now.
But we love to be here.
For sure.
No, I'm just saying. Which would you have to prefer?
Don't put me out, because a church is supposed to be where you get healed, where you get delivered, where you get set free. You could sit up in the church, be high, and be sober, and back to, because Jesus can sober you. You know, when you ain't drunk. No, that spirit can leave because you heard the word of God, and it changed you forever.
But I believe, my cousin Dolores stated, that then hurting people hurt others. You did that. I mean, not you in particular. If they did that to me, then that's where you sometimes only want to come back into the church.
This topic is so dear to me because, again, I'm recovering myself. So it's almost like, I ain't going back to know. When I go to church, for they ain't help me. Only blame on me. There were churches, I'll share my story, okay? There were churches I went to when I was high on the influence and out and smelled good and my clothes were raggedy. And I come in and I sit at the back church, at the back row, and they put me out that church. So they said, oh, she smells too bad. And then there's churches I went to, and then who had embraced me when I was in that state and showed me love. And those churches that showed me love, I can call someone Pastor Anderson, Elder Hoffman. Some of those people have helped me to get to a place where I finally say, I love myself, and I don't use drugs anymore. And I'm clean and I'm sober, and I'm smelling good, and I'm looking good.
I know that's so, right.
Over the pastor and those churches who show me love, even when I didn't know how to show myself love.
It's the church can be sued if my kid is on the steps playing, and I knock them upside their head and they fall down the last three steps.
Mm-hmm.
The church or any facility, not just the church, any facility.
If you could do it at,
and if I can't
do it, I don't know. Give me a place.
There are cases where people sue the church because of child abuse.
Yes.
There are red cases where they said the church did not approach, report it, and the family sued the church.
It's a school now where kids,
it's a school now where fifth grade students, and I know we're talking about church, but a fifth grade student beat a fifth grade student, and she wound up dead in a few days. And now they're suing the school. So I think schools, like he said, with churches, for instance.
I just remember, and we were in public property. And my goddaughter, her mother beat her in the store. So I was taking her out the store. So her mama went up jail. And she went flying out the store. She has very long hair. And I grabbed her, but what I grabbed was her hair. Got into the car. We're sitting there, and the police showed up at the house, at her mom's house, and they didn't arrest me. But with the question, like, we had an allegation, they wrote the license plate down, we had an allegation of abuse. So I understood it from that perspective. Like, that's so legitimate, and it is what it is. I just didn't understand from the perspective of if I'm here, and, they only stepped playing. I'm like, you got knocked inside the head. I bopped my head against the wall, got a big knot. Life went on. But now, is that because of the implication? Well, no, I get that. I didn't think that was the issue. So I get that point. But for a child that's legitimately needing to be disciplined, I didn't think the issue was a parent going too far. Because obviously, I guess I assume so maybe I'm wrong.
No, but I think for a child that legitimately needs to be disciplined.
Yes.
Well, Apostle, I'm going back to the child that's playing the piano, and it's inappropriate because it's someone else's piano, and we know that individual don't want them playing that piano. I think the parents should go and talk to the child, bring the child off the piano, teach them this is not your property. Explain to them that if something doesn't belong to you, you just can't go and mess with other people's stuff. And then if you train children are the easiest people to train to me. Adults is where you have most of the problem. So if you train a child to come into the church or someone else's house and they know that it doesn't belong to them, they don't usually bother it. It's how you bring a child up to me that they set the standards for themselves. You set the standards for them, but they'll follow it. And then if you don't want a child playing with other people's and I'm going back to our church because we're talking about labor. So if we're down in the sanctuary and the child is supposed to have reverence for that piano, it all belongs to God. But just say we had a piano and you wanted the child to learn how to play, so you allowed the child to play on the piano because they're hearing sounds, and usually those children become the musicians. So, again, when we ask the Holy Spirit to lead and guide and direct us in making decisions, if we follow the Holy Spirit, you'll know how to discipline that individual, because I think Overseer, somebody said, people are different. And what you can utilize to discipline me, it may not be the same for someone else. But I believe that a church should have discipline. Otherwise, you won't have any order. Because when the demons come in, if you are not in a position where you can cast them out, they're going to come in and they're going to try to take over. Whether it be a 17-year-old that's high, no, when the 17-year-old come in that's high, because some people be high and they mellow, as they say. Some people come in cursing you out. You have to treat that individual as if it's a demon. Sometimes it's a sickness, but you have to know what you're dealing with in order to cast it out. We don't have to put them out the church, because the church should be the most powerful building it is.
So people bring their demons with them. Satan has a seat in the sanctuary. Apostle taught that class years and years ago, and she talked about how we were exploring actually socially acceptable scenarios, you know. So people bring their stuff with them when they come to church. It just so happens that that parent happened to have a kid who was high that day, you know. So if Satan's got a seat in the sanctuary, then why does that kid not have an open door or a welcome mat as well? Because a Holy Spirit could actually sober that kid up while he's in the service, as long as the kid is not being disrupted, you know, because, you know, there are things in place. If someone is being disruptive, that can take place, you know, to deal with that situation. I don't think that there's a scenario. Well, I won't say that, but you know, in a scenario where the child is high, because I've had some kids sitting next to me who were high, you know, and in church or at conferences and all kinds of things, but that don't mean that they needed to be put out, you know, unless they were being disruptive. Or, you know, some other disciplinary action was needed, or the police needed to be called or something like that, you know. But if, you know, Satan comes to church all the time and we bring our demons with us when we come. So what's the difference between that child's demons, and what's the difference between that child's demons and ours, even if they look different?
Right.
Any closing thoughts?
One. If my mom would have just danced and was living this day, she would have been scared.
Oh, leave it to God.
Keep it to now. Keep it on track. When we were getting a child, I was in church. Out of church, at home, where prayer goes, I believe that we as parents should know our children. But I had good kids, so they knew that I did that.
that was fine. You know, they knew to stop it. I think when they do something that needs to be addressed, we should have spoken to them concerning that instead of just talking, you know, and again, I think a constructive talk way more than hitting. Because I was trying to find a way that you can discipline a child so much that they won't even hear or receive that discipline. I can't find a constrictive that is there. So, yes, discipline needs to be in church and school. And where we go, you know. And some adults need to be
there. Yes. 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 The whole concept of things about discipline is how discipline takes place. But discipline doesn't have to be physical. Mm-hmm. And so I think we, out of our own frustration with whatever behavior the little person is exhibiting, you know, you backhand or we respond by it. Don't even keep it to that. We respond. If that response isn't about correcting that behavior, that response is making us in the heat of that moment. Like, well,
you did this to me. You turned me
with your problem. So I think that the behavior, whatever the inappropriate or whatever we want to call it, behavior definitely needs to be addressed. I don't think anyone is saying that the behavior shouldn't be addressed. How it should be addressed in the various settings. We definitely need to listen up to know how, whatever the varying behaviors are, how they should be addressed. That how it should be addressed and in front of whom it should be addressed and corrected so that it is misconstrued.
Because I did discipline my presses and I just kept getting reports from the teacher. And I told Preston, you go to school this morning, that teacher called me, I'm coming up there, and I'm getting the yardstick. And right in front of the school, the room, I'm going, thank you. So did Preston hear me? The teacher called me, I went up, the teacher, where's your yardstick? She said, I don't know, Mama, that's the yardstick. I think I'll just give him once or twice, but Preston didn't ask up anymore until, you know, he thought he was grown and had to. But I think that might be that we're supposed to talk to the children first, explain what's going to happen. And I think if they don't have to hear them, that's what I did as I break my chain. So, explain to them what's going to happen and then explain to them.
Yeah, I think we definitely need to use this to how if it isn't, if the discipline is out of love, then it's a gift. And it's no gift over. If it isn't, you're not, then you know I love you and I'm about to teach you. But so if this moment that we're here right now, it's the foundation of this moment. Here's the love. Okay? Is our response to that child isn't the same as God's response has been to us?
And we don't need to tell them it's going to hurt you more.
Right. Because that ain't
like, how deep is it going to hurt you?
Well,
lie. 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 Wow.
All right. Good conversation. I definitely believe that this was very helpful, helped me understand something from a legal perspective that we need to understand as a ministry, as a revelation, and, you know, there's so many different entities that we are involved in. And we definitely need to understand some of the laws that we are governed by so that we can understand that our actions or reactions
have far-reaching consequences in yourself. That's very helpful. Good conversation.
Just one more message. But there was a principal that called the grandparents or the auntie or someone to come up and chastise, come up and discipline the child. And the mother sued the school, the principal, plus the relatives that came up because they did not give her permission.
Yeah.
Just because their name is on that list of a parent, a person you can contact in case of an emergency, they cannot give consent for that.
Right.
That is
messed up for me, but that's a different conversation. Oh no! I got a whooping one time by my parents, and I've not had to whoop my kids. Praise Jesus! So.
In the old time, you've been alive all
time. Never watched. That's a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
Wow! They believe in time out. They don't want checks.
Wow!
And even that, they all discipline. It can be
emotional.
That's bullying.
Bethany has rules against concealed weapons.
Yes, they do.
Alcohol. And they can't have alcohol.
Or at least a weapon.
Yeah, so you can't have a drink.
I mean,
that's
bad.
I think that is a great topic.
You know, has had this ongoing relationship with the
turning up the heat.
Turn
up. Okay.
That's a song. Turn it up.
Trish.
Let me sorry. Sorry.
Here we go. Here we go. Check the mirror and see if we got
that. You know, you don't know that continues to come to church. Turn up. Turn up. Should leader thermostat be asked to sit down. Leader thermostat is the leader. And not return to church until he's not turned up.
Why is it gonna be a sheep?
The next week is about purple patch.
What's purple patch?
The gun. Okay.
Next week is all about the gun. We probably won't get the turned up, turned out, or an exit.
Oh, no, not turned out of pocket. That's different. A possible turned out is turn up. You know what turned out.
Oh. Okay. You get turned up. Trust me, you turn somebody out. Oh, there you people that turned up ain't turning out.
Well, thank you, Blog Talk Family.
Thank you. We have enjoyed it.
We've enjoyed it.
Yeah.
We're gonna
Apostle
KP, would you end us in prayer, Apostle KP?
Okay.
She turned.
Thank you all tonight, oh Lord God, for this subject matter, oh God. Thank you for opening our eyes to some things, oh Lord, tonight, oh Lord God, that we weren't able to even see, oh Lord God. We pray, oh God, that you would endow us with wisdom, oh Lord God, going forth as to how we discipline, how we handle our children, oh Lord God, because we want to do it in fear of the Lord God. We want to raise them in the admonition of the Lord and the Lord only, oh Lord God. We don't want to infiltrate any of our own ideas, any of our own issues into our children, oh Lord God, but our desire is that they will be free to walk the way you would have them to walk, oh Lord God. So we just pray, Lord God, that you would give us wisdom. We thank you, oh Lord God, for Kingdom Church. We're thankful for those, oh Lord God, who minister to our children on a Sunday to Sunday basis, oh God. We pray that you continue to give them wisdom and knowledge as to how to handle them, oh Lord God, that they may grow in the admonition of the Lord. We thank you and praise you for it now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We'll have a blessed week and hope to see you guys on Sunday.
Amen.
Amen and good night.
Good night.
Thanks.